life is not hard. Every day you live, it gets rough and tough. Sure, I know Reaganomics, new policies, new plans, new outlooks for the presidential election, great things, but I'm here to tell you, it's not any better. It's not going to get any better. The only time it's going to get better, that's when the church of God is taken away. Amen. And I'm looking for that hour and that time when the trumpet of God will sound. And somebody, I believe it was a Henson, singing a song this morning and talking about leaving. And they said, just the moon is going to be a stepping stone, for I'm on my way up. Praise God. Oh, isn't it wonderful that we can confess something that's real today? Isn't it wonderful that we can feel something? I told somebody not long ago, seeking for the Holy Ghost, I said, listen, I said, the experience that you receive in God, it's not a mind-bending thing to make you believe in your mind only, but I said, this thing makes you feel good all over. I said, it's convincing not only to the mind, but I said, it's convincing to the soul. It's convincing everything that everything's all right. And that's what I like. I like something that's convincing, something that can prove itself. And the Holy Ghost has proven itself over the years that it's real. Amen. How many of you are happy today you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Shall you stand with me, please, and let's just raise our hands and worship the Lord. And let's one time thank Him for the Holy Ghost. Would you do it? Thank Him for that Spirit that you have within your heart right now. Oh, blessed be the wonderful name of the Lord. Blessed be the wonderful name of the Lord God of heaven. I love you. Blessed be the wonderful name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the wonderful name of the Lord. Blessed be the wonderful name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I believe for just a little bit, I really believe that we could have an explosion here in this room. Have you ever been into a place and somebody was speaking or someone was demonstrating something, and when you were finally convinced of that substance or whatever it was, you felt something inside of you that gave you the assurance that whatever or whatever was said was right? Or have you ever been in a service and all of a sudden you felt an impact of what a preacher said that caused something like cold chills or a shocking feeling to come on you to make you feel good for just a moment? Have you ever felt that in your life? Has there ever been a time when you was on that pew and you realized that you were so depressed and you just didn't know how in the world you's going to pay the light bill or the gas bill or the car note or the house rent? And all of a sudden somebody preached a sermon that told you just to forget about it, that God wouldn't see a seed begging for bread. And instantly you felt like somebody just gave you some fuel or something, and you lifted up your hands and said, thank God, and you felt that cold chills of assurance come to you.
Hallelujah.
And you couldn't stop yourself. But first thing you realized it, you were up and saying, thank God for victory. I'll tell you that when you did that, that gave the very key to success, that everything was going to be all right. And you know what? That's how it is in the house of God. If you feel like something's being said, I don't care who's saying it. I believe every time a preacher preaches, I don't care who he is, if he's elementary or junior high or high school, I believe a preacher has something to say that will encourage somebody's heart. You may look at it as one of the driest sermons, and you may say, I hear that all my life. I hear it every time we come to the house of God. But somewhere in that sermon or in those words, there's going to be something that's going to take somebody on that's going down the wrong road, place them on the right road to the right place. Amen. So every time we come to the house of God, let's expect that thing to happen to us. Would you do that today? I come to feel like we might have an explosion. If some of you that feel that will just release it. Just release it. This thing never was given to us to be sealed up. It never did fall on the day of Pentecost for them to lock the doors and shut the windows and be traditional quiet. But when it fell, Everybody in the streets heard it. They didn't have windows. It was noise to abroad. Oh, listen, if we want folks to enjoy what we have, then we must express it and praising Him and loving Him. Oh, I feel Him. Let's raise our hands again and praise Him one more time. Hallelujah. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord God Jehovah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The book of Acts chapter 8. And restart reading about verse 5. Amen. Somebody came up to me this morning and said we have been enjoying the services and the move of God. And they made a statement and said, you know, but I just don't believe that we have reached that point of breaking through. And I thought for a few moments. I said, you know, that time or that event could take place right here today. It could break loose in here today if we want it to. Because God's here to give us all that we desire. All we have to do is be willing to accept what the Lord has for us. Can you say amen? Amen. In the book of Acts chapter 8, starting about verse 5. Philip went down to preach to the city of Samaria, and preach Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsy, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the thing concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Brother, Pastor, would you pray this morning?
Thank you, Lord. Appreciate you, God. Thank you for your power. Blessed be the wonderful name. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. It is a wonderful gift to have everyone here with us today to worship the Lord. Friends, family, saints of God. It's so good to have everybody here with us today. And it's good to have some of those folks from my part of the country. Amen. Round Sulphur, Louisiana. And it's good to have these folks from Moss Bluff, Louisiana. If you're from Louisiana, you just got it. Amen. I was preaching somewhere not too long ago, and they said, where are you from? And I said, well, I'm from Louisiana. They said, well, that answers the question. Amen. I never did find the results, what they were talking about, if that was bad or good. But I believe if you're from Louisiana, that's all right. Praise the Lord. I told my wife, she's from Arkansas, and when you go into Arkansas, they got a big sign over the Mississippi Bridge from Memphis, Tennessee. It says, the land of opportunity. And I said, yeah, the first opportunity that you can find, get out of there. Amen. But I'm glad we don't have any of those signs over Louisiana. Amen. It's sportsman's paradise. Am I correct? Amen. And I believe they said it right. Amen. If you like to hunt and you like to do all that kind of stuff, I believe you can do it all in Louisiana. Amen. I guess. I don't know. Amen. Brother Sherry talking about turkey hunting and all that, I probably wouldn't even know how to shoot one. He probably could come out of the woods and talk to me, and I'd just probably talk back to him. I don't know. Amen. But it's good today to be in Louisiana. Amen. Because this is where the Lord is moving in a great way. Amen. And I'd like to preach to you today, if the Lord will help me, being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. We talk about the Spirit of God, and this is a big word. This has a lot of meaning to it. The Spirit of God, when we talk about the Spirit of God goes in all directions. It doesn't have just one course, or it doesn't do just one thing, or it doesn't just cover one area, but it covers everything, and it does everything, and it moves in all directions. Sometimes we shake our head and we look at what we're facing and we say, you know, I don't believe I can get help over this thing. I just don't see any way that I can be relieved of what's in my pathway or facing me. But when we understand the Spirit and realize what the Spirit is, there's no problem too big, there's no problem too wide that the Spirit of God Himself cannot take control of and help us be overcomers. It's just we've got to be willing to let the Spirit have its way. Its way. God and the permissive will of God. The permissive will of God is when God finally lets us have our own will. And we are able to go out and do our own will. And but the Spirit of God is something that we have to depend on. The Spirit of God is a necessity to our lives. If the Spirit of God was not in this building today, we would feel like that we were wasting our time to come to church. But because we know that the Spirit of God is here with us, it does something to us to encourage us that if I can just make it to the house of God, everything's going to be all right. Amen. If the Spirit wasn't here, we would not be motivated to come to the house of God. I thought today as we were coming to church and we passed several denominational churches, and as I passed there, I saw the cars that were in the parking lot, and Sunday mornings it looks like the parking lot is full. But you go by there on Wednesday night or Thursday night, and the preacher and the song leader and the instrument players, and maybe two or three, looks like that's all that's going to attend. And I thought about, there's got to be something lacking that does not draw the attention of these people to desire the house of God. And then I began to look at ourselves and I said, what keeps us coming to the house of God? What keeps us desiring to want a fellowship in the presence of the Lord? It's because the Spirit of God is there. And the Spirit of God gives to us what we have to live a successful life and being faithful and hearing the Lord say, well done. If the Spirit of God was not here, then our Wednesday night, our Thursday night, or whatever would be just like the denominational world is. But when we come here, I'm here to tell you there's something about the Spirit of God that makes us want to raise our hands. When we come here and the Spirit of God is here, it wants us to open up the songbook and sing those songs. I thought this morning as we were singing the song, I turned to one of the pages and I looked at it. And in my mind, I thought, you know, I don't need a book to sing this song. I said, everywhere I go, everybody sings this song right here. And I thought for a few moments, I said, you know, it's a strange thing that we're not tired of singing these songs right here. I said, it's a wonder that we just don't quit singing them and do something else. But you know, then I thought, you know, I said, there's something about these songs that introduces us to the Spirit and what the Spirit will do for us. And when we sing these songs because we feel the Spirit in these songs and what the Spirit of God will do for us, then we enjoy singing them over and over, realizing that it will cause a blessing to come to our hearts and our souls will be encouraged to press on and go on until we can feel the freedom of victory. I thought about the Iron Curtain, and there are sections of the Iron Curtain that you have a difficult time if you ever want to get across the Berlin Wall to be able to find freedom in the free world. And there is a section where they have different obstacles that if you're to make it to the Berlin Wall that you have to go through. They have a section there. They have a fence that is wired up that if anybody comes near the fence, that it will set off instruments in a location or a headquarters,
And instantly men that are trained can be out and somehow stop you from making it across the fence. If somehow you are to make it across the fence, then they have a road built that army vehicles constantly travel down just in case somebody made it over the fence. Then these military men are trained to mow them down and watch them wallow in their own blood, because they do not want them to make it to the wall, that beyond the wall is freedom. If you happen to make it across the paved road, then they say that there is an area that is plowed so deep that if a man would cross it, it would be hard to make it at any pace or any time, because you would sink halfway to your knees and you would struggle, and by that time somebody could find you. And if you happen to make it across that, then they say that there is a gully or a canal or a bayou or whatever, that if a man makes it across the first obstacles to the wall of freedom, that it's hard for a man to go down this little gully and to try to come up on the other side. It is very steep. But if a man makes it across that, then he finally comes to the Berlin Wall. And at the top of the Berlin Wall, they have a huge pipe that is about 10 inches in diameter. If a man were to climb the wall, it's hard for him to get his hands around the pipe to be able to make it to freedom. I thought as I read the story about all of the obstacles or all of the barricades that are in the way to stop a man from finding the free world, there has been many people that has desired to get to the other side, because somebody said, that is a free world that I can live like I want to, I can enjoy life like I want to. And friend, because they desire to feel freedom, because they desire to want to live like they want to live, they are willing to risk their life to be able to go through all the obstacles to get to the Berlin Wall, to get on the other side and feel freedom. That's the reason why that when we come to the house of God, that we do not mind clapping our hands. That's the reason why we do not mind shouting the victory of the Lord. It's because we realize that when we get a hold of the Spirit of God, that we're going to find the freedom world in the Spirit of the Lord. And we're going to be blessed. And we're going to be encouraged. And that we're going to be more successful in living a good life for Him if we can just overcome those obstacles that are in our way. And there are many things in our pathway to hinder us, to cause us sometimes to feel so discouraged and so let down. And being led by the Spirit, it brings us to a time in our life that we must make the right decisions. We've got to make the right decision to really be successful in living for God. We face a multitude of decisions every day of our life. Some decisions are simple decisions, and then there are some that are not very easy to make. In a simple decision, everybody here today made simple decisions. When you got up this morning, it wasn't very hard for you to make the decision what you were going to wear to Sunday school today. There was some decision that you made very quickly. But then here today, there are people in this room that are facing some decisions that is going to take hour of prayer and fasting before you can ever find the right direction. That's the reason why do we depend upon the Spirit of God. It's the thing that gives us our course. It's the instrument that leads us out of the storms. It's the very instrument that takes us and brings us to a landing strip, that we're able to bring this whole thing down and have a safe landing. If we didn't have the Spirit of God, we would have more wrecks and crashes, and most of us would want to throw up our hands. But because we have the Spirit of God bubbling inside of our hearts, we're able to sail a course, and we don't have to worry about a crash, but we can lift up our hands and say, thank God, He is my God. Those decisions that we make in life, sometimes they are tough, I'm here to tell you that when I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach, it was a tough decision to make. I had a job, friend. I had a fantastic job. I had a job that you could go in if you wanted to, and you didn't have to go in if you wanted to. If you wanted to sleep till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and go in and then leave about 1 o'clock, that was up to you. Never missed a dime's pay. All I had to do was spend the company's money. That's all I had to do. If I wanted to go to a camp meeting or conference, I didn't have to worry about my money. My money would be there for me. And the day I quit my job, the boss told me, he said, "Listen, we're just about to give you a 15% raise." But I said, "Sir, do you understand? I have made a decision that I'm going to do the work of the Lord. I believe it's my time to fulfill what I was born on earth to do." It wasn't easy to make. It was a hard decision to stand there and watch people come into my home and buy different parts of the furniture and watch my wife give up her furniture in her home and move her into an 8x30 trailer. It was a hard decision. But friend, when I got a hold of the Spirit of God and felt that it was a mind of God, there was something that settled over me that gave me peace and gave me security. If you're here today and you're trying to make a decision, you listen to me. You put it in the hands of God and God will give you security. It was a hard decision to make. I waited around after my pastor told me. He said, "I believe it's your time to go." I just shook my head for another year and said, "Wait a minute. I just don't want to go. I just don't want to go." But friend, there came that time that my bed felt like it had needles in it. I felt like I couldn't go on no more. I wept, I prayed, I fasted, I cried. I'd done everything to make sure that I had made the right decision in life. Because friend, I'm here to tell you that when you make a decision in life, it doesn't only affect you, but it also affects those that are around you. If you make the wrong decision, it could damage somebody for life, and they may never be able to find a better way or a clearer pathway to serve God. So I have to make the right decision. I had my family involved, and I had to do it right. Could not make the wrong decision. I was standing at the crossroad. I could go left or I could go right. But I began to think about my entire future was in the decision that I was about to make. The very thing that I was about to decide what I was going to do, it was in my hands. And I had to be careful because the Lord had blessed me with a family. And my family was going to depend on me. I was the one that had the responsibility. I had the responsibility to have clothes on their back. It was my responsibility to have food on the table. It was my responsibility as a husband to provide what my family had to have. And I was about to make the right decision. I thought about Joash in the Bible. It was the same way as the man of God said, "Now wait a minute. You pick up the arrow and you shoot it toward Jerusalem." And when he shot the arrow, it was the arrow of deliverance. But there came up an important message that he was about to make a decision that was going to be the decision that was going to be an impact upon the country that he was from. As the king said, "Pick up those arrows," he picked those things, and not realizing the future was in his hand, not realizing what he was about to do was going to be the very outcome of the country that he was in. And so because he did not do it right, and because he did not let the Spirit of God work with him, because he did not make the right decision, instead of hitting the ground 6 times, he only did it 3 times. And the man of God warned him and told him, "Just because you've done it 3 times now, you're only going to defeat the Syrian army 3 times. And then after the 3rd time, their babies are going to grow up and they're going to become warriors. And they're going to come back and war against your nation. And they're going to destroy it." Oh, listen here today, friend. If there's a decision to be made in your life, you depend upon God to make the right decision. He's not going to lead you into a place to embarrass you. He's going to lead you beside still. sometimes we get impatient, that sometimes we motivate our own selves to believe that it would be done this way. But if we just wait upon the Lord, as the song goes, He'll renew our strength. If we'll just wait and say, Lord, I want Your will to done. It's very easy for us to raise our hands and say, oh, I want the will of God to be done in my life. But then we begin to take steps and say, but I want it done this way. I want it to go in this direction. If we would let it be in the hands of God. For Philip was in revival in a city, and the Lord was pouring out the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, friend, it was a great revival, a mighty move of God. And Philip was enjoying what was happening. For the Bible said unclean spirits were being cast out, and there were those that were sick with palsy. And friend, they were finding their healing. And the Bible said there was great joy in all the city because of what Philip was making. But there came a time in Philip's time of ministry, at this time, at this revival, that there was a decision to be made. Philip looked and saw the miracles of God. Philip saw the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Philip saw those that were possessed with demons coming free. Those that were sick were able to run and leap and praise Him. And Philip was exciting, but the Bible said that all of a sudden an angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip saying, I want you to arise and go to the south. I want you to go to a place in the desert. I want you to go there now. Maybe Philip didn't understand it. He said, wait a minute, I'm in a good revival here. I'm having a good move of God here. What do you mean, me to go out in the desert? You're wanting me to go where there's no revival? You're wanting me to go where there's no town? You're wanting me to go to a dry hole in the desert? But friend, hear me. There was a reason that God wanted Philip to go to a desert. There was a reason that the angel of God had told Philip to get up and to leave right then, because there was a revival that was heading from Jerusalem that Philip had to come in contact with. It wasn't the will of Philip to go, but because he listened to the Spirit of God, 8 miles from Samaria and 30 miles from Jerusalem, he met a eunuch, an Ethiopian eunuch, that was coming back from Jerusalem and reading the book of Isaiah. He was enthused about it, but all of a sudden, Philip recognized, this is why the Spirit of God led me to the desert. This is why God brought me here. It was to tell a man of what he was reading and to send him back to his city that there could be a revival in that city. Sometimes we do things we don't quite understand why they're done. I remember one time we was in revival, and you may say this is silly. You may say, boy, that's not necessary. We'll never do that here. That's fine with you. You may never have to do it here. But I remember one time we was in revival, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me. Brother Free had a little bench on the side that the minister sat on, that if he needed them, he could pump his finger and they were ready to go. And I was sitting there one night. All of a sudden the Spirit of God seemed to impress me to go make a sign, and on that sign say, revival in progress. So I went out real quick and I found a poster paper, and I made a sign and wrote it real big, revival in progress. And so I was going to carry it back into my seat and just sit down there with it and let everybody know we was in revival. And I was about to go back into the sanctuary from the side, and the Lord said, wait a minute. In my mind, it seemed like He said, get a broom. So I got a broom, and He said, now put that poster on that broom. And so I went, found a stapler, and I stapled that poster to that broom. I carried it back into the church, and sure, you know what everybody did. They looked at me and said, what's wrong with that zombie? He's lost his mind. But I stood there with a broom in my hand with a sign on it saying, revival in progress. And all of a sudden, I'm here to tell you something got a hold of me. I began to vibrate. I began to shake. I tried to stop it. I tried to slow it up. But I began to shake until I couldn't even hold on to the broom. So I handed it to the guy next to me. And when he got a hold of the broom, he started shaking. He started trembling until he passed it on to somebody else. And somebody else got a hold of that broom, and they started jerking and they started shaking. After a while, they passed it on to somebody else. from hand to hand. Everybody wanted to get a hold of that broom and get a blessing from what was going on. And when it was all over with, everybody, I'm talking about the sophisticated, I'm talking about the sightseers, I'm talking about the bench warmers, I'm talking about the difficult ones, I'm talking about the hard-hearted ones, they wanted to get a hold of that broom. It wasn't the broom, it was the act of obedience to the Spirit of God. Amen. We've got to have the leadership. We've got to have the leadership of the Spirit of God if we want to be delivered from the pressing times of our society.
Now I'm here to tell you that when it was all over with it, every person in that building reached for that broom, got a hold of that broom, and got a blessing from God. I'm here to tell you there were people in that building that had infirmities that had been prayed for and seemed like there was no way it's ever going to happen to me. I guess this is my cross to bury. And when they touched that broom, do you hear me? They instantly felt those things leave their body. There was some there that was sick with things that nothing could ever cure it. But friend, when they touched that broom, they were able to feel the very divine power and the Spirit of God as it left their body. I'm here to tell you there were sinners there that when they saw the commotion that was going on, that they grabbed a hold of the broom and the Holy Ghost fell, and some of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was because somebody was willing to be led by the Spirit, and because of the obedience of the act of God, the Lord was looking down and found favor in it, and miracles were cast upon the pews, and the whole entire church felt the joy of the Spirit of God. We go home in our conditions is because we don't let the Spirit lead us. That's ugly, preacher. No, that's the truth. Sometimes we just don't want the Spirit to do it to us. Sometimes we'd like to see somebody else do it, and then we get involved and do it. But I'm made to think in the Bible, and I believe it's probably Esther. You read about a king that was given a party, and there came a time that as they were drinking and having a good time, that some of the men said, "Hey, we would like to see the queen." And so they sent servants to her and said, "I want you to come." And so she looked at those men that were there standing in her door, and she said, "No, I'm not coming to present myself before those men. I'm not coming at the orders of the king. I'm just not going to do it. Go tell him I'm not going to come." And so they went back and told the king that she's not coming. She's made up her mind. She's not going to demonstrate her abilities that she has. And so it made the king very angry, and they began to discuss it. And somebody made mention, "Get rid of her and find you one that will." I'm here to tell you, friend, if there was ever a time that Pentecostals need to realize that if we're not careful, we're going to be caught up in the stream that's causing the world to have a form of godliness, but deny the power of. This thing was born on power. It's going to go out on power. We may change, but God's not going to change. If you're planning on making it, you better stay in the boat. You better ride the tide out. You better ride the waves out. And you better be led by the Spirit of God, or we're going to lose it. We're going to lose it. Those decisions are very important in our life. And because Joash did not make the right decision, the army came back. And there, it caused his nation to lose a battle. When we make the right decisions, it causes us to begin to develop confidence in ourselves. We build up confidence to say that I can do it if the Spirit of God leads me. Oh, if we could just somehow wipe out the word of a complex. If somehow we could dismiss that thing of, "I'm just not getting it over. I'm just not getting it over." Do you hear me and understand me? I have
times in my life, friend, it's hard to even say the alphabets when you're preaching. But when I get through, sure, the devil's on your shoulder. And he looks at you and says, boy, you failed up tonight. You know what I tell the devil? I say, thank God there's another night and there's another time. And he's not going to leave me in the dark. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And the next time I get in the pulpit, I've got confidence because the Spirit of God is in me. He's right beside me. Hey, brother, he be not far from any of you. Amen. I'm not going to let the devil rob me. I'm not going to let the devil defeat me. I'm going to have confidence.
Confidence is what everyone needs living for God. Confidence is something that everyone needs. Confidence is what carries you over the trials. Confidence is what gives you the ability to build yourself roots that you can stabilize yourself and cause yourself to be firm like a tree planted by the water. Confidence is what gives you that. A person that does not have confidence in himself, he's always doing things to get people to believe in him, people to laugh with him, and people to do all kind of things with him if he doesn't have confidence in himself. But if we have the confidence in realizing that the Spirit of God that is with us, I'm here to tell you there's nothing impossible for him. I'm here to tell you there's nothing impossible for him. In what? Those that believe.
I got confidence in myself. I'm not the first preacher ever preached. I'm not the best preacher that ever preached. I'm not the greatest sermon preacher. I'm not the best the one to get up here and really paint it beautiful for you. And at the end of the sermon, change it real quick and have you weeping and have you crying. The only thing I know how to do is what the Lord told Jeremiah. Jeremiah, open up your mouth and I'll speak. I'll say the word. That's all I know how to do. But friend, I'm going to tell you what. I don't get up here unless I feel the Spirit in something that I must preach. But most of all, I've got confidence that God is going to send the word out. And the word is going to prick the hearts of those that need it.
And that's because being led by the Spirit of God is what is necessary for us to have. Oh, Lord, time's catching up. Who invented time? Oh, Lord. Here I am only on my second topic, I guess. And here it is already, 11:15? Mercy sake. But it gives us the assurance. If we get the confidence, it gives us the assurance. You ever see anybody that's really got confidence, strong confidence in themselves? He's not one of these guys that has to run his mouth all the time. A guy that's really got confidence in himself, he can sit back and let everybody else do the acting because he don't have to be blown up. He don't have to be pumped up. He just realizes that God's with me, and whatever I have to say, I just let the Spirit carry it out. It's the same way with you out there. Oh, listen, we don't have to be pumped up and primed up and pushed against the wall and shoved into the prayer rooms pushed into Thursday night services. We should have enough fire built in us and enough confidence built in us and enough assurance about the Spirit of God that God is going to give to me what I need.
Nobody has to prime me to tell me the rapture's coming. Everybody in this building believes the rapture's going to take place. So why don't we develop confidence in what we got? Has it ever failed? Show me one time in the book. Show me one time in the book that this has ever failed. No. How did Noah make it through it? Confidence. How did the prophets of old able to stand? Confidence. How were the time of the minor prophets? How could they stand there? How could Jonah make it into that city of Nineveh knowing that they were about to stretch him out and watch him dry? Because he found confidence in the belly of the whale and realized, I better get there. I'm here to tell you the devil's got all kind of tactics.
He's got everything in the world you can think of to come at you and try to discourage you and make you feel like that this thing is just something. I talked to a boy not too long ago. Well, I guess it's been about a year ago. A boy that was raised on a Pentecostal pew. Mother still living for God. Daddy's backslid. I was talking to him about the Word of God. He looked up at me and said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "Do you really believe that's right?" He said, "Were you there when that Bible was wrote?" I said, "No." He said, "How do you know that some guy just didn't sit down and write this book?" Well, for his information, that guy, if he calls him a guy, somebody in this book wrote about an experience. Wrote about something that could happen to somebody that saw their need and came and repented of their sins and was baptized in the name of Jesus, that they could receive an experience that would change his life. And friend, listen, I found that experience to be real because it happened to me. I don't base it because of the Word. I base it because of an experience. Because the Word talks about an experience. And because the Word talks about an experience, I believe it all. Isaiah said, "Search out the Scriptures. Look for yourself. Find it out for yourself." And Isaiah said, "That's why the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That I can go and find those that do not have confidence in themselves, those that do not have assurance in themselves." He said, "I can go and find those whose hearts are broken, those that are in prison, and those that are mourning, that somehow I can bring something that will cheer them up." Do you realize that we're living in a world that is so sad that if we could just somehow for a few moments look, you'd see more red eyeballs, you'd see tears running down cheeks, you'd see more weeping than we could ever imagine in our mind. It's because the world does not have confidence and assurance, and third, they do not allow or they do not have the courage and the boldness to press on. We do, because we do have the Spirit of God. There are two ways that we learn about the Spirit of God. And that way to learn of the Spirit is through His Word and His Spirit. Philip makes a decision at the right time to be at the right place when it was to happen. And the Bible said in the book of Acts that some gathered up one time and said when they prayed, the place was shaken. They were at the right place at the right time for it to happen. And when we come to the house of God, this is the best place for it to happen. I'm telling you, you hadn't saw anybody pray through lately at Johnny's Pizza. All you can hear in there is saying, "Play me, play me, play me, icky, icky, icky." All them outer space junk. That's all you can hear. You walk in there and you feel like somebody's talking to you. "Play me, play me, play me, play me." Oh, you didn't see anybody jump up on the table and say, "Oh, thank God, somebody, I just got my healing." I know I was down there a few nights ago, sitting around watching everybody eat that pizza and licking their lips. Herbalife kind of got me on a diet. Everybody else was enjoying it. But you know what? I didn't see anybody jump up on there and say, "Oh, I'm on my way to heaven. I just got the Holy Ghost." I didn't see that. I didn't see anybody come and say, "Oh, thank God. You know, said I had a headache. It was from here to here and from here to here." And said, "You know what? Oh, sitting down in front of this pizza, I just got my healing." I didn't see that. But you know what I saw in the house beside the road that night as we gathered here? You know what I saw? I saw that while the choir was singing, that some of you were standing up saying, "Thank God." I saw that here. You know that? I did. I really did. You know what? I saw people come down here, and a young lady got the Holy Ghost right here. I saw that here. At the right place, at the right time, the right thing happened. No, I didn't see those things happen down there. But I saw them happen here. I saw them develop at the very beginning. I saw those reaching up to find the mind of God. You don't know how much a preacher depends upon you that sit there in those pews. Brother Shirley, I guess he wonders why I go and I sit on my pew before I ever come up here. You know what I'm doing? I'm trying to feel where you is. I'm trying to feel some of you's problems. I'm trying to see if I can get in the same attitude or the right spirit or where you're at. I'm trying to feel what you're feeling out there. That when I get up here, I'm on target and I'm able to say the right things to get you to understand that the Spirit of God is here to do something. I'm not here to cause you to blare my name out. I'm not here trying to build up a big poster for the world to see. I'm only here being led by the Spirit of God because I personally believe that this is your season to have a revival. I'm just as serious as I can be. Now, whoever you bring in here, whatever you happen, hear me, church. I may be 300, 3,000 miles away, but I'm still saying it's your season to have that revival. If you will enter what? If you will enter yourself into prayer and believing and reach out and find those that are out there, if you'll bring them to your pews, I'm here to tell you that God's Spirit will draw them. That's the will of the Lord. That's the will of God, being led by the Spirit of God. We must be led by the Spirit of God. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. Or, as it was for Israel, Israel lost the effects of an altar. No longer was the altar important in their life. And when they lost the effects of the altar, they lost their walk with Jehovah. When we lose our effect of the altar, then we lose the effect of the oil. When we lose the effect of the altar and we lose the power of the oil, then we lose our respect for the ministry. And when we lose our respect for the altar, and we lose our respect for the oil, and we lose our respect for the ministry, then we lose our families. Just a book to carry on Sunday mornings. I'm afraid the hour of disappointment will come to your life that every person in this building dreads. And that's to hear the Lord say, "Depart. I never knew you." Show me those. Show me those that lose the effect of an altar. I could bring you to one place. The Lord spoke and said, "This is your time. This is your revival. Work now." And the man that was preaching, somehow they just didn't get behind him, just didn't push for having revival. And instantly, just like it happened to Philip, the Lord said, "That's it," and stopped. That was it. Today, that church, probably somewhat 9, 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, that church has never entered another season of revival. From 200... it's now running close to maybe 40, between 40 and 60. Because when it was the harvest time, when it was God's time, when it was the moving of the Spirit, when the water was troubled, I'm here to tell you that if I lived in that day, and I knew the angels were going to trouble the water, and I knew that if I touched the water first, that I was going to come up and be healed. Don't listen, friend. I'd be sitting there waiting. And I just wouldn't say, "Well, I might fall in." I'd jump in. The waters are troubled. The angel has troubled the water for West Monroe. Hear me. You may have not listened to anything I've preached at all. But let me say this from my heart. West Monroe, it's your time. It's your season. If you want your friends, your loved ones, next to you, the water is troubled. It's almost going home time. Brother Steve, he stepped out. I wanted him to sing that song he sung a while ago. Somebody, real quick, go catch him. Bring him back in here if he's not busy. If he's busy, that's all right. But I feel that song today. I feel like we're just about ready to go home. I feel like that we're what we're doing now is a perfect will of God, because the harvest. I thought about the harvest. I thought about the area that I'm from. They do a lot of rice farming, a lot of soybean. And I thought when I was just a little boy, I thought how that we used to go to the country and men that were big farmers, that they would allow us to get in the back of the big rice trucks, and the combines would go out in the fields and they would harvest the rice, and the tractors would bring it in and unload it in these big trucks. And one of the farmers used to let us get in the back of the trucks, because we could get in there and we could play in the rice. Actually, what we'd do, we'd pack it down where they could get more in there. We'd spread it out for them. But I thought for a few moments as those things entered my mind, and I began to think, there was a time that before the rice ever got ready to harvest, that the farmer would take his helpers, and they would go to the barn, and they would go through those combines. They would change the belts. They would grease the bearings. They would change oil. They would do every kind of maintenance program that you could think of, because they realized that when it was time to bring that rice in, we're going to start and we're not going to stop until it's impossible to see. And so they would get their machinery in condition. They would get everything ready. Because when it's time to harvest the crop, we better get it in, because about that time it's hurricane season. And there may be a hurricane come that will cause the rice to be pushed to the ground, and we will lose our crop. So when it was time and the golden color of that rice was stretched out upon the sunlight, they would hit the fields and they would begin to work and combine this rice. Let's get it in. And they would work until they couldn't see no more. I thought about in this hour and this time. For the last few years, it's been a maintenance program with the Spirit of God. It seems like that the Spirit of God has been trying to tighten our belts. He's been trying to tighten our standards. He's been trying to loose us up, to get us free. He's done everything that He knows how to do, because He realizes that in just a little while, the crop is going to be harvested. Preaching revival of Brother Kilgore, as I told you what the Lord spoke, behold, I would have already come, but you have asked me for more time. Then in revival at Wichita, Brother Cornwell's, the Lord spoke out real forceful and said, behold, I come quickly. And warned the church to look up. The maintenance program's finished. We're just waiting for the starter to be pushed. And when the motors sound, it's over. Jesus said, behold, I stand and knock. And He said, come, saith the Lord. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. And then finally in the book of Revelation, he gives his final call. Behold, I come quickly. Sure, there's going to be a next week in our minds. Sure, there's going to be plans that are made. But for no man knows that hour or that time, not even the angels of heaven. If there was ever a time you that are in this building today needed to make a decision, today is that time, is that hour. If there was ever a time that you need to listen to what's about to speak to you, please listen. Because there's going to be a call go forth like no other call has ever sounded out. Have you noticed in the Bible that when Noah built the ark, Brother Steve, I want you to get ready to sing that song you sung this morning. Notice when Noah built the ark, people are being convinced every day that I can live for God my own way, at my own time, at my own place, and still be saved. You're wrong. When the Lord charged Noah to build the ark, He never did tell him to build signs and say, ark of your choice. He said, build one. One. Our world says there was a green ark, there was a red ark, there was a purple ark, there was a pink ark. Whichever one you want to go in, get in it. Nowhere in the book do you find, but there was only one. And notice there was only one family name, Noah. And Jesus said, I'm coming after a people that is called by my name. He don't have 7 doors to go into. He don't have 50 different ways to try to serve Him. He said, I am the door. If any man come in any other way, he's like a thief and a robber. There's only one way, and that's to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and live holy. If you try it any other way, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. You're living by the leadership of tradition. But when you're led by the Spirit, because the Spirit said this in the book, I will lead you into all truth. If you're led by the Spirit, you're led to the truth. If you're not led by the Spirit, you're blind. You're carnal. Shall we stand, please? He's coming. Traditional things? No, I don't want them. Habits of society? Don't give them to me. Don't give me the new vision of a carnal world. Don't let me taste what the world says is sweet. Let me keep looking up. For the world looks for the undertaker, but I'm looking for the upper taker. Because I know He's coming back. Because Peter saw the napkin around his face that he had taken from his face and laid it to the side. And he said, Peter, that's a sign to you, boy, to go tell him out there I'm coming back. And so help me, the world is vibrating now. It seems like heaven's angels are on loudspeakers. It seems like the birds in the heavens are saying, get ready, get ready, He's coming back. And I can't afford to miss it. I've got to be saved.
Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind.
Are you ready to go? Have you made that decision in your
life? Oh, it seems.
Are you fighting against the Spirit?
All I'm thinking
Are
about.
You shoving Him away?
most of the time.
Who's coming today to pray?
And very
who's
going to
make the right
decision?
You're going to face him someday.
Far behind.
You're going to stand in judgment, ma'am. You really are.
Lately
you're going to be judged by God. You really are.
I've got leaving on my mind.
If you don't know Christ through the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
lately all,
would you make
I've
a decision today?
Is leaving
would you make the greatest decision that a man can make, and that's to give a little time to him?
Well,
come on.
That's all I'm thinking about.
You don't want to miss it.
Most of the time.
You don't want to miss it. No, you don't. But you will.
Very soon
you will.
I'll leave my trouble.
You will.
Far behind. Lately I've got leaving.
I'm leaving. How about you? I'm leaving. How about
I've
you?
I've got leaving on my mind.
Pray with me one more time. Sing it one more time. That's all.
Lately all I've got is leaving.
I see the Lord speaking to your heart right now. It's your time to walk down that aisle. It's your time.
Oh,
we're leaving. Goodbye. The church is about to leave. He talks to you. He reaches for you.
Most of the time.
Goodbye.
Of it soon. And very soon I'll leave my troubles.
Are you coming?
Far behind.
Everybody help him sing that. Finish it with him.
Lately I've got leaving. I've got leaving on my mind.
Just one more time. I promise. Just one more time.
All I've got is leaving.
Ma'am, he's reaching for you. He's reaching for you. I'm telling you, he is.
Seems that's all.
Would you walk down that aisle to pray? Come on. Come on. Come on.
Most of the time.
Come on.
How that soon and very soon I'll leave all my troubles far behind.
You're going to be left behind.
Yes, lady.
You're going to be left behind.
I've got leaving.
You're going to be left behind.
I've got leaving on my mind.
Oh, do I ever feel that touch? Do I ever feel that
lately
call?
All I've got.
You talk about an important altar call. This is important.
On my mind. Oh, it seems that's all I'm thinking about. Most of the time, how that soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles far behind. Well, lately I've got leaving. I've got leaving on my mind.
All right, I feel this right now, or I wouldn't do this at all. But I don't want any music. I don't want anything but just a silent prayer. Because I want that person here today to hear that voice clear. I want them to concentrate on what he's saying. Because there is somebody in this building right now that the Spirit has really reached for. For about 1 minute, I just want the Spirit to speak with force to them. You're making the greatest decision of your life right now.
Your future can depend upon this very decision you make right now. And you got approximately 15 seconds to make that decision. 15. It's ticking away. It's down to 10 seconds. Are you coming to pray? Are you coming? God bless you. Would they play it?
Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind.
Let's all come down close and gather here in the front. Oh.